From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Of the nearly 1 million physicians who practice medicine in the U.S., about 25% were trained in foreign medical schools. That's according to a 2018 report by the American Immigration Council. But immigrant doctors face high barriers to entry in this country, which is a concern for states like Georgia, which has a severe shortage of doctors. Andy Miller is editor of Georgia Health News. Freelance journalist Max Blau is here with Max and Andy. They recently published a five-part series on immigrant doctors in Georgia. And thanks to both of you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here, Max.
Great to have you with us. And I'm going to start with you, Andy. I mean, this is a five-part series. That's a resource-intensive thing. Why did you decide to focus on foreign-born doctors?
Well, the three of us, and I'm including Katja Ritterbusch, Max and myself, all came at this from kind of different angles, but we all kind of had, each of us, a separate idea that this was an important story, the fact that foreign-born doctors provide a substantial amount of care in Georgia and across the country. And so we got together and mapped this out. And remember, during the political campaign season, there were two big themes, immigration being one, healthcare being another. And so this was a kind of convergence of those two themes in terms of what we wanted to work on. And basically, we wanted to take a deep dive and see what work and what barriers this substantial amount of immigrant physicians provide here, both Georgia specifically and nationally.
Right. And it's 17% of the doctors practicing now in Georgia are foreign-born. The entire country is facing a doctor shortage. How bad is it in Georgia, Andy?
Well, it's worse here. Because, for one thing, our population is increasing substantially year to year, and there are many areas of the state that have particular shortages of primary care doctors. There are six counties that have no physicians, six of 159. There about one-third of our counties have no pediatrician, and then about half of the counties have no OBGYN. So this creates a real access to care problem, particularly for people with chronic disease.
Max, why is it so high here in Georgia?
It's the combination of two main factors. It's our population in Georgia is aging, and it is also, with that, the doctor workforce is aging as well, and that in the near future, you're going to have, nationally, the crisis of the shortage of doctors looks like it'll be about 120,000 nationwide. And when you look at Georgia specifically, the shortage that could happen here is one that will particularly hit rural parts of the state particularly hard. So it's the combination of aging population and aging doctors.
And it seems like a lot of foreign-born doctors seem to cluster in the Northwest, certain places in the Midwest, not so much here in Georgia. So one of the thoughts is that more foreign-born doctors, those trained overseas, could be allowed to practice medicine here in the U.S. Who wants to walk me through the steps of what it would actually take to get there?
So typically, much like any other doctor or medical student who is going through the process, you would have to complete a series of four different exams that are part of what is known as MLE or medical licensing exams. Then you would have to get into a three-year residency program and complete that at a hospital, typically at a hospital of around the state that offers that kind of teaching for residents. And then at that point, you'd be eligible to get your medical license typically. Many foreign-born doctors have in some way, shape, or form gone through a similar process in a different country. Mm-hmm. When they come to the U.S., though, they need to complete the residency requirements, and getting into residency programs typically for foreign-born doctors or anyone who was born outside of this country is statistically harder to do than mm-hmm. to be a U.S.-born medical student or resident and go through the same steps.
So you would have done a residency in your home country, and then you have to come and do it in the U.S. again.
Exactly. And in many cases, doctors who are trained to practice in other countries do the whole, they've completed all their medical education in a different country, and then they come here and do it all over again.
So that must be pretty costly. You study for an exam, maybe not be able to practice medicine while doing so, going through residency. Andy, what do we know about what these doctors do to make ends meet during that time?
Well, some actually do other jobs. We've profiled folks that work in research and basically in other type of jobs while they're trying to get into a residency program. I mean, that's the real bottleneck. And unfortunately, federal funding for residency programs hasn't really increased. And that causes a real problem for these folks that have been trained in foreign countries such as India. They come here, they want to practice medicine here. And unfortunately, they're stuck in terms of trying to get into a residency program.
Are the exams in the U.S. more rigorous than in other countries, residency requirements and exams, for example?
I would say the bigger problem is getting that residency program rather than passing the exams. I mean, these folks, and Max has profiled one that did a lot of training and was actually doing physician work where in his home country. And unfortunately, he has not been accepted.
Is that Iraj Ghani, the Iranian gentleman that you spoke to? So tell us about him and the decision he had to make about getting approved for a green card to the U.S. in the first place.
So Iraj was a orthopedic surgeon back in Tehran, where he was born and did all his medical education. And in 2009, he won the lottery. He was one of 50,000 people who had applied to come to the U.S. and was fortunate enough to have the chance to come here. But he also had this tough choice at that point in time. It was either continuing to be a doctor in his home country, something he had spent 16 years training to do to get up to being a specialist, or come here and potentially become a doctor again, but also being aware of some of the risks at that time that, you know, while it would be difficult to become a doctor, he believed it would be something that was still attainable for him. And at this point in time, he's been going through the process for 7 years at this point, and he has still not been able to even get into a residency program.
Do we know how many just give up after that kind of all those many hoops to jump through?
I've chatted with five or six other doctor or people who want to become doctors in the U.S. who had been doctors in other countries, and some choose paths like becoming a nurse practitioner and ones that are below their pay grade from their other country. And some just leave the profession altogether. I chatted with one who is now running like a laundromat in Arizona, for instance, which has nothing to do with being a doctor at all.
About 17% of practicing physicians in Georgia were born in another country. Well, we'd like to know from you, do you know if your doctor was born or trained in a country other than the U.S.? And does that matter to you? Let us know. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. You can also leave us a message. We're at 404-500-9457. So one of the potential solutions is that some doctors envision creating an assistant physician program. That this would help offset the doctor shortage, especially outside of Metro Atlanta. What would that look like?
An assistant physician program is one in which a doctor like Iraj, for instance, could see patients. He could, under the supervision of a doctor who had gone through a U.S. residency program as well as passed the licensing to become a doctor, he or she would not be able to prescribe without a doctor overseeing them's authorization. And depending on how it would work, there would be a certain geographic limit to where they could practice, but theoretically would be in a rural area that didn't have enough doctors at this point in time.
Go ahead, Andy.
No, in Georgia, it was proposed that we create that, and I think it's probably still on the table, at least in the background, but there are a few states that have created this assistant physician position, and so far, it seems to be working well there.
Who oversees certification for that kind of thing or approval?
Well, it would be that the legislature would have to create this category by law, and have it passed through the General Assembly and signed into law.
So state legislature.
Yeah. Right. And then ultimately the medical board, like all other medical licenses, would have regulatory authority over this process or the license.
How do patients tend to talk about this? You know, do you speak to them about being concerned about the qualifications of a foreign-born doctor, for example?
Well, I think that we did talk to some patients. Particularly, I went to a Clarkston clinic which serves many uninsured immigrants and refugees, and you know they're tremendously pleased and satisfied by being able to get care at this Clarkston Community Health Center.
Where
most of the doctors are foreign born.
Right, and I'm wondering about whether the travel ban imposed by the Trump administration against immigrants from select Muslim countries has affected any of those that, for example, you spoke with.
Well, I think that there have been some visa problems created by the travel ban. There have been some we talked to doctors, particularly we talked to one who is from Libya. And that's one of the countries that has been isolated by President Trump and his travel ban. And while he had some difficulty in terms of getting his visa to practice after he did his residency, he did make it. And these are folks that want to stay in our country and want to deliver patient care.
I know that many of these doctors have patients in areas of Georgia that tend to lean conservative and wondered how they have reacted to foreign doctors, especially to Muslim healthcare providers.
Well, that's a good question. And I think what the Muslim physicians told us is that basically they're accepted by those communities. I mean, sometimes they run into awkwardness and, you know, they may have a patient or two that doesn't want to be served by a Muslim doctor. And some of them talked to me about that, including one who said that the whole atmosphere kind of changed after 9/11 and patients were there were a number of patients that were more reluctant to be seen by a Muslim physician.
At the same time, I think you see this phenomenon where, so let's say, in Katja, in her story, she talked to a doctor in Stewart County, and I believe he's one of the only doctors in this 6,000 county area. And you see what, there'd be this disconnect, maybe even a wariness or a mistrust that exists of someone who is not like you treating you, but as soon as that connection happens in a patient room. Oftentimes, that is, you know, is a bridge across two different cultures or that may have not existed previously.
It tends to break things down. So we have just a minute here, Andy. You, of course, editor of the Georgia Health News, and since we have you, the deadline to enroll for coverage in the Affordable Health Care Act is this Saturday, December 15th. So, what are you at Georgia Health News watching?
Well, we're seeing that the number of people enrolling is less than it was the previous year. Now, that may be a lot of factors involved. It could be the fact that the tax penalty has gone away if you don't get insurance. It could be the reduction in funding for navigators, which is our insurance counselors that go to hard to enroll populations and help them enroll. But so we don't think there will be as many people signing up this year as last year in Georgia. Last year, we had like 480,000.
Andy Miller, editor of Georgia Health News. Max Blau, who collaborated with another reporter on a five-part series on foreign doctors in Georgia. That's all at GeorgiaHealthNews.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.